This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, and this is Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mokhtar. The coronavirus COVID-19 outbreak has permeated the daily lives and conversations of people all across Asia for the past few weeks, and nowhere more so than in China, the ground zero of the outbreak. Today on the show, we're speaking to Caroline Khan, an author and journalist based in Beijing, to find out more about the experience of people in China and how the Chinese media has been covering this story. Thanks for joining us today, Caroline.
Thank you. I'm very happy to join.
I want to start with what's been your experience in this outbreak? When did you first learn about it, and how has it affected your routine in Beijing?
So the virus basically broke out more than a month ago, but it was around January 20th or 21st, that week, when it was all over media, Chinese media and international media. That was a time when people started to pay attention to the virus. And that was very close to Chinese New Year. So I went home to my hometown in Tianjin, very close to Beijing. At that time, like, nobody realized how serious it is. So the transportation was not stopped. But when I got home on 24th, the situation escalated very quickly, and I didn't stay long at home for the Spring Festival. I came back to Beijing because I was worried that Beijing would stop people from getting back, and it turned out to be not exactly correct, but Beijing since then has been implemented very strong restriction on people from getting back to Beijing. So people who are stuck in their hometown where the situation is bad, many of them have trouble of getting back because trains have been no longer available. Also, of course, a bus, because some road has been blocked. And I think from this week, anybody from any province or any cities, if they want to get back to Beijing, they have to stay home for no shorter than 14 days. That's 2 weeks. And right now, my residential compounds, I am still free to get out of the room, the apartment and building, but the residential block, there's a gate. So there used to be four gates. Three have been closed. So there's only one main entrance there where a lot of guards and policemen are standing and watching people from getting in and getting out. So every family has only two pass, and you have to show the pass to the guards when you're getting in and also take your temperature.
I see. So there's obviously a lot of vigilance around people's movements. What's it like on the streets? Are they relatively empty, or do people go around as normal but in lesser numbers?
I would say most people try to stay home if it is not urgent. You know, many companies, many employees have been working from home, big or small companies. And if you are not in an urgent situation to get out, you don't. And of course, people have to go to the market to buy vegetables, to buy food. But I think many families, they only go shopping once every few days to avoid more contact with people. I've been to several markets, local farmers markets, and I have seen several fightings because the managers of the markets stop people, anybody who's not wearing a mask. So they just stop you from getting in. And some people say it's really difficult to get a mask now in Beijing, in China. You cannot buy it at any pharmacy shop. And most of the delivery service has been either interrupted or delayed, postponed. So, for example, I bought a box of mask before Chinese New Year, and that hasn't been delivered. And I was told there's no way they could deliver the products.
How is public morale, you know, after it's been almost a month of either self-imposed quarantine, or what's the mood of people like at the moment?
I think it's so hard to say. You know, I take my family, for example. So we have a family WeChat group. So I guess in Malaysia, some people also use WeChat, right? So it's like a social network app. It's the most popular one in China. So we have a family group on it. I haven't seen any of my family members, except for my parents and my brother, since January. So we have been changing a lot of information on in the WeChat group. And I think many of my family members, their day is spent like, okay, getting up, and then it's lunchtime, then do some work, but not much, and then it's dinner time, and then watching news. And, you know, the news is quite disturbing. Every day you see, you listen to the latest number, how many people have been infected and how many people dead. Yeah, and also given the situation that you cannot get any entertainment, basically. So your home is the only place you spend 24 hours in many days in a row. And yeah, I mean, my uncle was talking about this a few days ago, saying, well, if this doesn't stop, probably many people will end up having a mental illness. Well, he was joking, but not totally joking, you know.
Do you personally know friends or family members or colleagues who have had coronavirus and are currently in isolation or in getting treatment?
I don't have any friends or family who've been infected. But if you look in China's social media, there you can see, you're constantly seeing stories from people, especially from Hubei province and the city Wuhan. Yeah, sometimes I have to turn it off because it's really quite intense. Many people cannot find a hospital accepting them, and no bed in the hospital available, and many have not been able to get the tester kit in time, and many people actually died before they have been it's confirmed that they got infected.
Okay, so the serious cases are really coming out of the Hubei province and in Wuhan. How is the public responding to all the measures being imposed, both in Hubei and elsewhere, to contain the outbreak?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. Well, some people saying, well, of those the measures in cities out of Hubei, it's been too much. But other people say, well, nothing is too much. So yeah, in the on Chinese social media, you would see we'd hear these two kinds of different opinions. Yeah. Like some people argue that in Beijing, probably there's been quite a lot of measures being taken, and many people argue that's really necessary.
Right. So there's really no complete agreement on whether enough is being done or not enough is being done or too much is being done.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the opinions could change, you know, like if not enough been taken has been done, then yeah, who's going to be responsible, right?
I'm speaking to Caroline Khan, an author and journalist based in Beijing. We'll hear more from Caroline after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9. Hello, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Pressing Matters, where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana, and on the show today, I have Caroline Khan, an author and journalist based in Beijing. We're discussing the situation on the ground in China in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak. I want to take a look at how mainstream media in China has been covering this issue. How has the mainstream media coverage evolved over the course of almost 2 months of the virus outbreak?
When I first heard about the virus, that was the end of December. So the news was circulating on Chinese internet. It was more like nobody confirmed it. It was like circulating as a rumor. And then there is the authority came out and say, like, this is not SARS. So at that point, the rumor was like saying SARS reappears again. And because of that, a few doctors in Wuhan who first announced it in some WeChat group got warned, and the police went to them and kind of like punished them for spreading rumors. So it went silent, into silence for about 2 to 3 weeks, because the authority denied it to be SARS, but probably at that time they didn't know that how serious it was, right? So in that 2 to 3 weeks, people didn't pay enough attention, and there was little coverage of it in Chinese media. And then start from the week of January 21st, just before the Chinese New Year, and the coverage exploded. And to be honest, I think the reporting, the coverage was pretty good. I'm quite impressed, especially if you are Chinese media such as Haixin or Xinjinbao or Sanlian Zhoukan. They have done a great job. But then, of course, some mainstream state media joined the reporting. And you could clearly see that there must have been some orders from the propaganda department to the so-called, in Chinese word, 传播正能量, as that is translated roughly like to spread a positive energy, to spread a positive message. So a lot of the state media and the party media, one of their mission is to write about the positive stuff, right? It's not 100% state media and party media's coverage. There's a very good balance of market-driven media or self-media, like private media channels on WeChat. And that is where you could get more sincere and true voices.
That's very interesting when you say that there's a balance of market-driven news as well as state propaganda, because the general perception in the outside world is that Chinese media is entirely controlled by the state. So to what extent is this true then?
So there are the so-called mainstream media, which are mostly state-owned, party-owned. But it is true that all traditional media, if it's print media, they have to get permission from the government. So one way or another, they are controlled by the government. But the government, they are not newsmakers. They are not news-making machines. So it still depends on the journalists from the individual medias to go out and report and write their stories, not like the propaganda department every day telling you what to write, right? But before the news being published or after it's being published, every media, every content will be monitored by the government. So it's quite likely that a very good balanced media did a great job investigative piece on the, for example, the environmental pollution or the corrupted official. But when it was published, soon it will be deleted because it got enough attention, and the government, the propaganda department, they send an order to delete it. There's always the struggle for the journalists and the editors to try to use the time before the order comes to delete, to spread it, to let the audience read it.
I see. Can we talk a little bit about the crackdown that we're seeing from the government recently about critical comments regarding the coronavirus outbreak? So you mentioned earlier how the propaganda department has been calling for more positive news. Has this affected mm-hmm. how vocal people are on social media, for example?
I think yes. I think a lot of good articles I read have been deleted, censored, and those articles spread so fast, read by hundreds or thousands of views within hours, and then many articles have been deleted from the platform, or the accounts been blocked. Yeah, and also I think people have been more careful on sharing information on social media, even with in a small group, even with your friends and the family, because anything you share is kind of transparent to the internet monitors in China. So, and especially right now when I think the government is kind of afraid of what they think those are fake news or the information, too much opinions that are against them. So they have been giving more warnings and have been seeing, again, like rumors in the WeChat group saying, from now on, you can only share news and information from the mainstream media's confirmed information. Otherwise, this group will be blocked, and everybody in this group will be stopped from using the WeChat social media for days. So, of course, this information can never be confirmed, but I think there must be a reason why there are such kind of speculation of this kind of expectations. So yeah, and the social media users have been quite careful.
How do people feel about the censorship that they know is happening? Is it seen as a fact of life and is generally accepted, or is the outbreak making people question this more?
You know, it's always a complexity. Some people may say, oh, this is a time when people should not complain but work together. And all opinions like, nobody in the world cares about Chinese people more than Chinese government. It's not like always black and white, and some people are quite struggling with the censorship, but the other people, it seems like the censorship has nothing to do with them, but not much to do with them. So people who have been struggling with censorship, especially last week when the doctor Li Wenliang, who first broke the news, he died from the virus. All my social media feeding was people questioning the system, questioning the government, and asking for more investigation, asking for changes. Some of my friends say, well, maybe this is a moment when something will change, you know, like there will be more people being inspired to challenge the system, challenge how the censorship work. But just after like one day or two, like this kind of discussion just died down. And it really reminds me of several times in the past. It's not the first time in China when people get angry at certain things and then asking for changes and get really angry at the system. So for example, in 2011, so when the fast train, the bullet train, there was an accident. There was a clash of the train, the fast train. Many people, all middle-class Chinese died. And was quite, in a way, quite similar to today's virus. And then people questioning about the system, the CCP, and how the officials work. And they asking for changes, and journalists get angry and ask for changes, do more investigative work. But then just within like weeks, it still get back to normal, you know. So I don't know if I should be optimistic, because I have seen this like a circle going again and again and again.
I see. So whether or not this outbreak can actually tip the scales for change, it still remains to be seen. In the little time that we have, Caroline, one final question. Mm-hmm. We don't know when this outbreak will subside. Things are still very uncertain. What are the Chinese people expecting from the government moving forward?
I think people are quite confused now. Like, when could kids go back to school? When could workers go back to office, and when could people go out freely without taking a mask every minute? I think the Chinese people, I think the first thing now, they want the information to be transparent and accurate. And then I think they want the Hubei province, the city, the Wuhan city and Hubei province, their situation to be improved.
When we see the officials in Wuhan and Hubei being replaced or fired, are people expecting more of those actions to be taken as well?
I think they want an investigation into some officials and into how the doctors in Wuhan, they realized the virus at quite an early stage in December. It took the authority almost a month to react, and also in the beginning, they react so slow. So I think people really want a fully investigation into the case and to find people who are responsible and hope some actions to follow.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have on the show today. Thank you so much, Caroline, for speaking to us.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
I've been speaking to Caroline Khan, a journalist based in Beijing. She's also the author of a memoir titled Under Red Skies. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, and then it's over to Enterprise. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.